so many people that, you know, as things went through that had been hurt by our previous pastor. And, you know, a lot of people are, when change happens, they push back and they didn't like the change. It was necessary change. And in reality, it wasn't big change, but it feels that way. Quite a few people leave, offended and for whatever reason. But those who, you know, knew that this was their home, stuck it out. Just to wait and see, and they were faithful to be praying and participants in the process.
And you know, my concern was three things in the follow-up coaching for all of your staff. Was number one that everybody has a clear and common vision. We're all working together for the same goal. And then second, to be current in what God is doing and how he's working in each person's life, and not just relying on old ideas and old activities that may or may not have served their time, but just to continue to be currently seeking the Lord for how he wants to work. And then thirdly, I wanted all of you to be connected in the way that all of you are, your love for each other, and that you're laboring together. You know, those three things will get a church through a lot of seasons. Clear vision, current in God, how God is working, and to be connected together in your work.
Poimen Ministries Podcast Network. Strength for today's pastor. Here's your host, Bill Holdridge. Bill is the director of Poimen Ministries, which is a team of former longtime senior pastors who are available to strengthen pastors, to strengthen churches.
Welcome to podcast number 47 with Strength for Today's Pastor, and I am with Pastor Terry McNabb, one of our Poimen Ministries pastors and part of our team, and also with Pastor Greg Phelps, who is the a relatively new senior pastor at Calvary Chapel, Red Bluff in Northern California. Welcome, you guys. Really glad to hear you and to have you with us. And we're looking forward to this discussion.
I can't see you, but really excited for our podcast today.
Yeah, me as well.
Absolutely. Well, that's good. So for those of you that are tuning in, what we're going to be talking about today is what happened at Calvary Chapel Red Bluff in recent months. A lot of stuff has happened, and I'll give you the brief history. What happened was that Calvary Chapel Red Bluff lost their senior pastor, and so they needed to do something, and they reached out to Poimen Ministries. What happened is one of their assistant pastors had met me at a missions conference, and something I don't usually do, but I did it in that case, is I handed him a business card as we chatted, and he kept it and reached out to Poimen Ministries, and it ended up resulting in one of our team members, Brian Newberry, becoming the transitional senior pastor at Calvary Chapel Red Bluff, and he was there for about 9 months. He and his wife, Cheryl, they did a great job preparing the leadership and preparing the body for change and discipling people. And right out of all of that, Pastor Greg surfaced as the man that the Holy Spirit was pointing to take the reins and to assume the role of senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Red Bluff. So we're going to talk about that, the transition and what's happened as a result of that, and then Pastor Terry's ongoing role in coaching and just coming alongside Greg and all of those kinds of things in our time together. And so if you're listening for the first time to this kind of a podcast, then you'll be learning a little bit about the ingredients of transition. You'll be learning a little bit about what pastoral coaching looks like, at least from our perspective here at Poimen Ministries. So that's really the introduction. So I'm going to just leave it into a conversational format now, guys. So Greg, why don't you tell us a little bit about what was going on at Calvary Red Bluff from your perspective?
Well, you know, prior to us losing our pastor, you know, we've been just blessed with really busy ministry. And upon losing our pastor, we just really began to understand that God was working in a different way. And so, as you said, Pastor Dale reached out to you guys, and we had a need. We were at a loss as a pastoral staff as to, you know, how to begin to move forward. And you guys sent out Brian, and he was a definite blessing in a lot of ways. The Lord used him in an amazing way to really understand where we needed to be and what our purpose was. And so God began to just that whole work in all of our lives here. And it was just a total time of, as we reflect back, it was a time of discomfort as we were being stretched, but God working in our lives.
That's awesome. So the period of time that Brian was there, about 8 or 9 months?
Yeah, he was here. He was here for 9 months. Our pastor left in June. It was in the end of June of 2018, and Brian was came in the ministry shortly thereafter. And so he was here for 9 months, and you know, his expertise, his wisdom was invaluable. And I know that it was not an easy transition for them at all when him and Cheryl came up. But man, they sure loved us. You know, we were a bunch of people that were hurt, and he was patient and kind in a lot of ways. And then when he needed to be firm. He was, and he just, like I said, helped us kind of get that focus again. What are we doing? Why are we here? And who are we supposed to be seeking? So it was just a good time.
Mm-hmm. Terry, you showed up at and dropped in and helped out a couple of times. I think you preached there a couple of times on weekends and just offered insight and assistance. What was it like from your perspective?
Well, my perspective is, I could tell it was just had been for years a strong, healthy, thriving church, but they were a tightly knit family, but definitely they were, you know, the surprise of losing their pastor. It wasn't a planned event. So there was just processing what had happened, why it had happened, what does it mean about them, and just kind of shock to them. And it's completely understandable. And it was really a blessing to come and just to spend time with them and just to help assist Brian in just ministering to the people. And in many ways, they're just like people, just the personal needs that we have pastored over the years in our own churches. And so it's really, I could just tell that they were just hurt and just saying, you know, what does this mean? And what do we do next? And so I just really enjoyed my time with them.
So both of you guys just chip in here on this one. Just talking about, you know, obviously the need of the fellowship, it wasn't an expected departure of the previous pastor, the founding pastor. And so what actually happened? I mean, what were the things that really happened in those times, you know, to the fellowship, you know, as far as the teaching that happened during the transition? What were some of the layers of healing that needed to take place? What was the effect of it on all of the levels that you can talk about? Let's just talk about that a little bit, because I really want to have people understand what a transition looks like and why it's needed and the effect on a fellowship and helping them get ready for their next pastor. And in this case, you, Greg.
Well, you know, initially, I think that, you know, we had a pastor that had been in the pulpit for 30 years, and we'd been accustomed to his leadership style. He loved the body but he also was a strong leader. And so he didn't hand a lot of the responsibilities down. So upon his leaving, the staff was really just at a loss. You know, who's to take control? None of us felt really equipped for it. We hadn't ever been really discipled in what a senior pastor position was. I mean, we were all in our own ministries, and we were all just very busy. And I think that, you know, we had a lot of things right. But we had kind of lifted up this man as kind of somebody who had become our God in a way. So we just didn't have a clear focus of really why we were here, and what we were, called to do, you know, who was supposed to be our focus, the Lord Jesus. So I think that, you know, through this process, again, you know, the Lord needed to get us to refocus, you know, on the priorities. You know, I think having Brian come in and be that transitional guy, he was able to sit down with the body and really begin to ask those questions. You know, what is Calvary Chapel's vision? Is Calvary Chapel Revel? What is our desire? What has God called us to? And it brought the body together in a lot of ways to be able to do that, kind of begin to think. We needed a lot of healing. There was a lot of hurting people in the church for a number of different reasons. That really complicated a lot of the things because it didn't make the transition as easy as we'd like it to be. But I think that all those things came out to a head and in a lot of different ways, you know, whether it be through Brian or maybe some of you guys coming out speaking. Terry came out, you came out, you know, Tripp came out. There was a lot of your guys that came out and really poured into us. And, you know, again, just a lot of hurt from this. You know, again, it wasn't expected, and it was just a difficult time. But, you know, it's a process, you know, and we just kept saying, you know, we'll be reminded of Scripture, you know, in Romans 8:28, that God works all things to good. And throughout the entire process, every time there would be a difficulty, we just were reminded of that. And so as the process went through and day to day things, you know, we began to just really glean from you guys and resources that you guys would bring us, the wisdom you guys had in pastoring. You know, as a staff, we gathered and began doing things that we kind of were doing, but not really. I mean, having agendas and meetings was not something that we really did. We had meetings and discussed things, but, you know, planning and, you know, prayerfully seeking, you know, the Lord's will in a lot of ways, we weren't doing that. A lot of the application of just simply, how do you do church as a staff, you know, a pastoral staff, and what that looked like, you guys helped us put in place, you know, devotions together, growing together so that we're actually working as a team. We were a bunch of ministries that were under the house of Calvary Chapel Red Bluff, but I don't know that we were a true family. I mean, we loved each other, but we weren't working together for a common goal. We were just, this is what God's called me to do. You take your piece of the pie, I'll take mine. So again, it was a really, looking back, it was a difficult process, and it's continued day to day growing, but it has been such a blessing to see God bring us through so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great description. We'll come back to some of those. Terry, how about you?
Well, I think, you know, Pastor Greg really explained that very well. And, you know, you would go to Calvary Red Bluff and see a healthy church. And for years, you know, I'm sure, like many, many churches, God had done, you know, there was a history of strong work of God there. But, you know, Greg quoted Romans 8:28. I think just naturally over the years of church life, we do start to fall into routines that may or may not be healthy. And it's just hard to get out of those routines. And so one of the things that God can do in a crisis is to shock us or break us out of those unhealthy routines and just reset our vision. That's really all that, you know, I know that Brian and I did and you did, and just getting the people to say, what does the Lord want to do here? Just that simple clarifying of purpose, really does carry you through. And I could just see that the Lord was just using the year, about a year plus, to just clarify and clear away the old things, you know, kind of like just a pruning process. And that's where the church is now, and just exciting to see what the Lord has done.
Mm-hmm. That's just so tremendous to hear. I mean, it really is. And it does take time. So there was a healing process that you mentioned, Greg, and then there was a staff discipleship process that needed to take place because you guys really hadn't learned how to be a staff in the way that you are now. There was a priority issue that everybody needed to face, leadership and people in the fellowship. And then there was congregational discipleship, I know, that took place. You had like 60, 70 people coming out, didn't you, on a midweek?
We had a number of discipleship classes that probably more than that. There was 6 or 7 classes with, 8 to 10 people in each class.
Yeah, that's great. And then there were just staff dynamic issues. So all of these things were necessary. And I remember, from a distance, being in some video conversations with the leadership team during those months. I remember that there were some people that were just really struggling, like, what are they doing here? And, there were some naysayers, that just were confused. And it just took time for people to see what the Spirit was doing during that time, and then they could get settled. Is that kind of how you see it?
Absolutely. The people were kind of sitting back wondering how the church was going to handle this, and what direction was it going to go, and what was my part in it? The healing process, there was so many people that, as things went through, that had been hurt by our previous pastor and just very sensitive to that. Almost a sense of divisiveness, and we dealt a little with that as well. A lot of people are, when change happens, they push back, and they didn't like the change. It was necessary change, and in reality, it wasn't big change, but it feels that way. Like this is a change, and
yes,
we had quite a few people leave offended and for whatever reason. But those who, knew that this was their home, stuck it out just to wait and see. And they were faithful to be praying and participants in the process. We're thankful. God has still got a lot of those people here. And even some of them have come back. Initially, Pastor Brian even said from the pulpit, some of you guys are going to need to leave. And that's okay. You need some time away. That's okay. Go find a home where you're getting fed. And so some people did, they left and haven't come back, but they're being fed somewhere else, and others have come back. Again, just that process is neat to see.
One of the things that we bring into this is our encouragement to anybody of believers or any leadership team is that this transition is going to work. The Lord Jesus Yes. is the head of his church. He cares about his church infinitely more than we ever could. And this is going to work. And it's going to work because he is going to identify new leadership that is going to come in. He is going to strengthen existing leadership. And he's going to provide vision for everyone to be sort of heading in the same direction. This is going to work. And it just takes a while for people to see it. It's kind of like Robert Coleman's statement in, his discipleship book, Master Plan of Evangelism. He said it's form that follows function. So you see the function happening in front of you, and then you can describe it. And that's kind of what happens in these transitions, but people don't know it at the beginning, but they see it over time. And that's kind of what's happening in Red Bluff, as I'm understanding it.
Yeah, there was a lot of uncertainty. We invited, a number of different prospective pastors and in the process. And so there's that uncertainty. People couldn't see, what's the outcome that's going to be. That, we had some good, candidates that were stepping forward that were completely capable, but there just wasn't that sense. And then as the Lord began to reveal to the body and to me, there was just a sense of peace that came with that.
Exactly.
And people began to see, okay, this is the work that God has been doing the whole time that God has been here. It's just been an anxious time because there's that unknown, what's going to happen. And so, yeah, there is a lot of peace right now for sure.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I've seen when a church hits a crisis like this, that almost the first reaction is we want to protect everything as it is. How can we protect the church from anything being upset? The leadership to the ministries, and it's like we just want to get a new pastor and continue as is without upsetting the cart. And really, that's not what needs to happen. The church is just going to go through changes, and people will come and go. And it's okay. Just keep trusting the Lord, and that the Lord's going to do a new work. So you guys are just an amazing example of trusting the Lord and getting through the changes and seeing the new fruit that God is doing. And you guys allowed us to come and help you with that. And it was a great privilege.
Amen. And I echo that. The kudos to you, Greg, and to the other guys that were on the board and the leadership to even reach out for help, because a lot of churches try to do this themselves. And boy, it just really runs into some problems most of the time. So way to go. Way to go.
That was the Lord. That wasn't us.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Pastor Dale, I just happened to go, hey, I think I have this card.
Isn't that weird? That's so funny. So, Greg, you didn't know once we came in as a transitional team, and Brian particularly, you didn't know that you were going to be called into the role of senior pastor. And I remember we had a couple of interviews, video interviews or conversations with you, and you were reluctant, but your mind changed, your heart changed, and you and your wife just really pursued the Lord's direction. And obviously you're now the senior pastor. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened and what changed and how you ended up where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, initially when Brian showed up, you know, when he sat down with me and kind of began to assess what I was doing and talk about my ministry and what he felt like my call was, the Lord had put on my heart, he basically said, you know, are you sure you don't want to be the senior pastor? And I said, no. I have never seen myself in that role. It was never a desire of my heart to take that primary role. And I had ministered with youth for 17 years before coming on staff. And my wife and I, we just loved the kids and couldn't see myself ever coming away from that. And so through the process, again, of you know, candidates coming out, you know, and, you know, week to week doing discipleship stuff with Brian, our morning devotions. And I'd sit down every week with Brian, and he would ask me how things were going and talk about things. And he'd ask that question. Are you sure the Lord's not calling you to senior pastor? And I would say, no, absolutely not. Lord's not. I've been praying about it, and I've been praying about it, and just not really hearing from the Lord, or I thought I wasn't hearing from the Lord. And so as time went on, I just began to realize that I was being kind of like a Moses, you know, afraid of you know, having to speak. And the Lord revealed that to me, and so I'm like, you know, what do I do with that? And then one night, Brian and Cheryl invited my wife and I over for dinner, and in the middle of game time, she asked me a question, and the Holy Spirit just fell on me, and I knew that was the calling. So it was kind of bittersweet in my mind. I look back and just even out, and I just wasn't ready. I wasn't willing, and so I just said to Brian, "Okay, hey, I'm willing. I'm surrendering to the Lord. Lord wants to know whether I'll surrender to Him, and I'm surrendered. If that's His will, let's." Pray as a body. Let's take a week of fasting and prayer, and let the body know that I'm willing to at least move that direction. And so we took that as a body. And I had a few people in the congregation that had told me that prior, that they knew I was going to be the next senior pastor, that the Lord had already revealed that to them. And so at the end of that week, the Lord did indeed reveal that to me, that He wanted me to take this position. And so we moved forward, and yeah, it was definitely an uneasy time for me. I remember just, you know, weeping with the Lord, just the Holy Spirit heavy upon my heart that I was going to do this. And you guys know, we had conversations with you guys, and you guys were just telling me, hey, you know, if it's not you, it's not you, all prior to this, but God was working not only in the body, preparing them, I believe, to who it would be, but preparing my heart, my wife's heart, that was definitely a major consideration for us. And we didn't want to just take this lightly. my family's always been involved in ministry. This would be an extra heavy load upon them. And so, but God has been faithful through all of that. And so, yeah, I am now the lead pastor, and God has just been faithful throughout the last, it's been almost hard to believe, but it's been a little over 6 months now. And it's just been an awesome time.
I'm so glad you said yes. That was the Lord. Yeah. So you got me curious, Greg. What was the question that Cheryl asked you? If you can share it.
You make me go there, huh?
If you can share it, that's okay. If you don't feel comfortable, that's fine.
She mentioned Moses. And when, like I said earlier, the Lord had said to me, I was being a Moses. And she said that. And the Holy Spirit just said, that's it. I told you. And I revealed that to you. And I began to just weep. You know, and it was just a neat moment. You know, I know for both Brian and Cheryl, I love that, you know, she was led by the Spirit to ask the question, and that was it. It's just simply that. It was a revelation that I had forgotten. The Lord had mentioned that to me. And so, yeah.
So the reasons or the defenses that were there were removed by the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Amen.
Well, that's wonderful. And the body is healthy now and becoming healthier by the moment. So you mentioned something. We haven't even talked about numbers. Isn't that wonderful? We haven't talked about how many people are there or anything like that. So how has this whole process affected the way you look at what a healthy church is? Because, you know, we often identify a healthy church with how many people are coming, right? So how has this helped you identify what a healthy church is?
It's been very clear. You know, we don't track numbers, and I don't know how many people are coming. I couldn't tell you. For me, it's quite simple. You know, are people wanting to get to know Jesus? Is all of our ministry is focused on Jesus? And I will tell you that the fellowship is sweet, but the worship times where we get to be intimate with each other and seek Jesus together, that is, to me, that is the rewarding part, that being effective. It's not about the numbers. Obviously, as a pastor, that's senior pastor, that's some of the things you deal with. We're dealing with budgeting right now, but that's in his hands, and I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about those things. He's going to bring who he brings, and it'll never be, quality ministry will never be about the number of people that show up, number of people that we're able to reach for the gospel. You know, we don't get to put a notch in our belt. You know, 4 people, 5 people have received the Lord today. It's just going to be fruit of what we're doing. And are people becoming disciples of Christ? Are they following Jesus, or are they just following a bunch of guys that think they know what they're doing?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, let's move into a discussion on what you guys have been doing between each other. I know, Terry, you one of your passions is coming alongside of pastors, and you've used a term that you experienced yourself, coaching, when you were in the pastorate. So what, you guys talk with each other about that, if you would, and I'll just sit back and listen about this coaching relationship or this thing that's going on between you two guys.
Well, you know, as I pastored Calvary Chapel, Portland for 23 years, I just found myself with those challenges of ministry over the years. And one of the things that helped me was this process of coaching, which is just a relationship with a mentor where he asks a lot of questions. Why are you in the ministry? What is your vision, or what's the goal? And you know, what is your weekly schedule? What are the activities? Are they really the ministries or the activities that are really what God has given you? And, you know, that relationship with my coach that I had years ago was so helpful to me. And what I discovered is over the years with leading a church, it's so easy to fall into just running the church and losing, in a sense, the purpose of leading the church. We always know generally it's about the Lord and bringing people to Jesus, but there are subtle shifts that can get us distracted, or just sometimes the stress or fatigue of ministry, or we're just worried about losing staff or something. And those things take over our focus. And so coaching really helped me through those times of struggle. And at this time, I just really enjoy helping other pastors with this coaching relationship. And so Greg allowed us to do that with him. And we've done that with the staff there at Calvary Chapel Red Bluff. You know, I wonder for you, Greg, what did you think of this process of more coaching and just this, the questions we asked you? Was it helpful? What did it do for you? Just kind of your feedback on ministry coaching.
Well, you know, I come from a perspective that, of coaching as well. Being involved with youth, I've been a coach for probably 15, 20 years. And, so that whole mindset is just valuable to me. You always have an input, as a coach, you know, to a player's mindset, you know, and preparing them for what's ahead and reassessing where are you and what do you need to improve on. And so this, you know, whole concept of coaching for me, it's, you know, it's very applicable. It illustrated so simple for me. And it began really beginning when you came and visited our staff and talked about, you know, honest and open communication and trust. And to me, you know, I'm a relational type guy and it spoke so much to me. And so, you know, I understood that and I loved it, applied it. I think the entire staff really loved it, enjoyed that part of that process of reevaluating. Yeah. Do we really have trusting relationships? Are we buying in to each other? Can we trust each other? And the honest truth to that is most of the time, probably not. We weren't being transparent with each other. And so, I love the whole coaching concept. And the last time you came out, you helped us really kind of reevaluate vision and what that looks like, you know, how that's played out in a mission, brought up topics that made the staff really, think, you know, good questions that made them think, you know, what is my part in this? What is my role? And the questions that sometimes you won't ask of each other, you know, they got asked. And so it caused us to discuss it and to get it out in the open. And for me, it just really built a team and it continues that, you know, we're moving in a direction because we're asking those questions and answering them with each other.
Yeah, that's really great. I think for me, all of this coaching approach completely focuses on what is it that God has called any of us to do? What has God called a church to do? And to what is, we're all part of the Great Commission, bringing people to Jesus and seeing them mature in Christ. But what does that look like in your life, Greg, and in each of your staff and every member in the church? And, again, I think it's easy to get focused on ministry activity and forget the very thing that God called me to do, and to lose that clarity of focus. And I think through this upset in your church, there has been a clarity of getting your church back just on what the Lord wants to do there. And, you know, when I was just there a few weeks ago, you had called and asked me to come back to the church, and I met with you and I think about 15 staff and spouses. And, you know, my concern was three things in the follow-up coaching for all of your staff was number one, that everybody has a clear and common vision. We're all working together for the same goal. And then second, everybody to be current in what God is doing and how he's working in each person's life, and not just relying on old ideas and old activities that may or may not have served their time, but just to continue to be currently seeking the Lord for how he wants to work. And then Thirdly, I asked, I wanted all of you to be connected in the way that all of you are, your love for each other and that you're laboring together. You know, those three things will get a church through a lot of seasons. Clear vision, current in God, how God is working, and to be connected together in your work. Because what you said in the beginning of this discussion was the church was a bunch of separate ministries. And it's so, so vital that everybody is working together, as one body or as a family. But that's hard, hard work, because we naturally want to fall back into our own isolated, areas of the church and almost be left alone. And that's why I talk to you guys about open, honest communication. Mm-hmm. So that's what we just did. And, you know, good for you for just asking for kind of a refresher for your leadership coaching. And I really enjoy doing that. So I wonder, you know, if you could tell us, you know, what my recent trip, you know, did for you guys, for the church. What did you get out of it? How was it effective?
Yeah, it was extremely effective. You know, we had an idea where we were moving, but again, it's that communication process. You know, we're all on the same page. We have a vision. But now what do we do with that? And, you know, I think it spurred us on to really begin to move that forward into the body so that they know the vision and that everybody's on the same page. You know, ministry wise, some of the things that communication aspect has really created for us is really a discussion point. We're open and honest. You know, what is going to get to what's going to really fulfill this vision? What things are we going to do that fulfill this vision now and not just independent ministries? You know, so it's created that when we sit down in our staff meetings on Monday and our devotion times, we're actively thinking about those things. You know, they're not just events now. Is this going to accomplish our vision? And so it was extremely helpful.
I think as simple as that sounds, this is just a transformative concept. If many churches could catch this, that the common vision filters down into the weekly church calendar, and that everybody in the church has a clear understanding. There's just good communication down to the whole church of the direction of the church and what purpose every activity serves in the church. Because, you know, different leaders start to feel like, well, this is my ministry and you can't touch it. Mm-hmm. When really every ministry is subject to assessment and change and update, because we're all doing this together. That really, really connects and ignites the whole church when they feel that they understand the pastor's vision and they're included in the discussion. These are simple ideas that I think are important to pass along.
Absolutely.
And in our conversation, Greg, you and I, before we actually started recording, you were talking about something as simple as the Thanksgiving Eve service that you're going to do at the church and how interactive that is and how the people are loving this kind of small group praying together, worshiping together, the relational aspect of things that is sort of new to the church. And do you think there's a relationship between the staff connecting and being honest and open with each other and what's going on in the body? It seems like there must be, and there is, as according to what we're saying here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as a staff, as we grow closer, you just see that the body gets it. That's what we're here to do. And not that those relationships weren't there prior, but I don't think they were as deep and as intimate. You know, you're right. It does take work, you know, when we're communicating with each other, and we've had to try to carve out times where we could get together. And prior to Terry coming, we had gone up to Mount Shasta just to spend together pastors' wives and pastors together, and just finding those times where we can have those intimate times, you know, whether it's just praying together, eating together, or sometimes, you know, playing games, whatever it is, but really knitting this together so that there's a common goal again. And I think the body is catching that because of that. You're right. It's exactly what it is.
That's great. That's wonderful. So we're really talking about, you know, the transitional process, the current health of Calvary Chapel Red Bluff. We're talking about ongoing ministry to the church through the coaching relationships. And I'm just so happy, Greg, and so blessed to hear your heart. I mean, when you talked about having been a coach for all these years and you love assessment, you love feedback, you are always looking to grow. Oh, would to God that all of us pastors would have that attitude and just have a growing, inquisitive, teachable spirit. That's really part of what's making the difference here. And I just so appreciate that. I want you to know that. So as we wrap up here on this podcast episode, maybe, Greg, you could think of something that you would like to just say to the senior pastors that are going to be listening to this. Something about coaching or something about transformation, something that would help encourage them to do what you're doing and what Calvary Chapel Red Bluff's leadership has done to reach out for help. Something that you could say in a minute or so that would really, you know, be something on your heart to say to them to encourage them. And then, Terry, same thing for you, maybe on the coaching level or anything that you have on your heart that you would like to say to pastors, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. So whoever wants to go first, go.
I'll go first. You know, one thing that really comes to mind, Bill, is that when I took on this position, I thought I had to know everything. And that scared me, you know. And I think as a pastor, no matter how many years you've been in the pulpit, I think there has to be the reality that we don't know everything. We're human beings. We make mistakes. You know, I heard very early on that I don't have to know everything, that there are resources out there that people can help us. And just to have the humility to know that you need the help, I think that's so important. I never want to find myself in a position where I think things are okay and I don't need help. Every day I'm reliant upon the Holy Spirit to work in my life. And I think, you know, Poimen is just another resource, you know, and whether it be a pastor that's local to you that you can call and just ask a question. Or if it's a coaching experience like this, it's just, I think it's so valuable to reassess and important. I mean, I want to know where I'm at, what I'm doing, how I can get better. And so I think that just the simple mindset of that you don't have to know everything is so important, and that there is help out there.
So appreciate that. That's great. Terry.
What comes to my mind is just to remind pastors of why they were excited to even go into the ministry is that they love the Lord. They knew how much the Lord loved them. They were excited to do something that the Lord put on their heart to do, and to remember what that is, what that was, and to protect that and cultivate that, because that's where the fruit is. That's where the passion and the power is, and everything else flows out of that. And sometimes the weight and the responsibility of being a lead pastor or leadership in general, and even the routine of ministry, the familiarity of it, can just dull that excitement for the one thing that the Lord called you to do. And just take time to remember what that is, that it's really normal for at times for you to get a little fuzzy in your vision. It's just kind of the course of ministry over a lot of years. And if you would be open to somebody from Poimen talking with you or just asking you the questions, that's the value of the coaching relationship. But just to maintain the simplicity of what the Lord called you to do. Don't try and be any more than that. And just be humble and transparent with your church and your leaders, and share that calling and that passion with them.
Very good. Very good. And what you're both saying reminds me of something that I read Warren Wiersbe write years ago. And he's talking about Moses. Back to Moses, Greg. But he's talking about Moses. He said Moses took 40 years thinking that he was somebody, and then the next 40 years learning that he was nobody, and then the next 40 years learning what God could do through a nobody, you know, and by his power. So I just think that's what we're talking about. You know, we're just people. We're just human beings that God has called as pastor teachers. And then he's put us in different roles. Your role, Greg, as a pastor teacher for many years was primarily with youth. And then the Lord just shifted you from your role as, from your calling as pastor teacher in that area to the role of the senior pastor. And it was a lateral move. And if you went back into youth ministry, it would be a lateral move because you were called as a pastor teacher. And these are the things that, you know, are important for us to remember, that we're just human beings. God teaches us. Let's be teachable. Let's be humble. Let's reach out. Thank you guys for joining in this podcast. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. Really appreciate Terry McNabb, one of our Poyman Ministries team members, for being on board in this podcast, and also Pastor Greg Phelps of Calvary Chapel, Red Bluff, California, and what God is doing through him. So let's just continue to pray for that great work that's going on there in Red Bluff and for the ongoing work of the ministry. So thank you, guys, for joining us. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us, talking with these two men of God and just hearing hearts. And thank you for anything that you do for us and anything that you do through us. It's quite amazing because it's really a testimony to your grace. Pray for anyone listening to this podcast that you would strengthen them with your might by your Holy Spirit in their inner being. And Lord, that there would just be a constant hunger and a desire in all of our hearts to learn, to grow, to be better at what we do, to be more focused in our calling and fulfilling your plan by the power of the Holy Spirit. So just bless those that are listening, and we ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Poyman Ministries. You can find us at poymanministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or desire to connect with us, or if you have a comment or a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. Until we meet again, may you continue to be a strengthened pastor.